The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna joins us for the latest on the Weiss investigation. What are they planning in 2024 as COVID makes a comeback? And Rich Barris goes to the primary polling. Glenn Youngkin, Ron DeSantis, Gavin Newsom, Donald Trump. We have all the information here. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Turning Point USA gives hope to the hopeless, because we are doing the work to save America. tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Okay, we have Ana Paulina, who does a wonderful job in the House of Representatives. I've been told by several sources in Washington, D.C., this Weiss issue has really changed the dynamic even amongst normie Republican circles. This Weiss fiasco is viewed on the left as a major liability and problem. Play cut 18.
That I am told, this is hearsay, but I am told by a reliable source that Friday evening somebody from Washington called the district attorney in Atlanta and said, you have to indict on Monday. We have to cover up all of the mistakes we just made with Weiss. And she said, apparently, my jurors aren't coming back till Tuesday. And they said, you didn't hear me. You have to indict on Monday. And she said, well, they're not going to get here before noon. They said, it doesn't matter. She said, this means it's going to be 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock at night. They said, it doesn't matter. We need the news
so
media shifting.
Who made that phone call?
We don't know. And I'm telling you up front, this is hearsay, but it's from a person who has remarkably good sources.
I totally believe it, though, because that would explain why they leaked and they messed up on the clerk document, why she was exhausted, and why they had the 11 p.m. press conference, Mr. Speaker. All right, so give us the latest on Weiss. It's a little bit hard to track all of this. And by the way, you're about to have a baby, so thank you for congratulations. Best thing in the world. So for making time for us here. So, and you're really making waves on oversight. So give us the latest. What's going on with Weiss? Give us the update.
We know Weiss is corrupt. He basically has been working to give Hunter Biden sweetheart plea deals. And in addition to that, many of my colleagues, to include other members, okay, these are private conversations that might not necessarily fully back Trump for 2024, have agreed that what is happening out of the DOJ and the DOD is completely just not okay. So there's going to be a massive appropriations fight. And frankly, if people think that we are going to go, you know, to push a CR and move forward with accepting this budget that's going to be funding this stuff, they have something else coming. So that's why you saw that statement come out from the Freedom Caucus earlier today. And you are going to see, I think, on the back end, a fight, especially to defund everything that he's doing.
So is there going to be a willingness on your, say, more moderate Republican colleagues to go along with that, you think?
I think at this point, you know, a lot of what I hear on the back end is they're worried about taking those hard votes. But with what we're seeing with the American people, right, you're just your average Republican voter. And even independents and Democrats, they don't have faith in the justice system. So I don't think that it's going to be hard for them to decide, especially being that, look, we have at least 20 members in the Freedom Caucus that will not be going along with this. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, government shutdown, this, that, and the other. Look, we have a lot of problems right now in Washington, and we can't just continue down this path of doing the same thing over and over again. So I hope that they make the right decision. But if they think that we're just going to be rolling over and they're going to get a CR, they have something else coming.
I mean, do you think that there is a willingness to shut down the government? By the way, it's not even a government shutdown, just so we're clear, right? It's non-essential workers who should not be employed as it is because they're non-essential who go home. We should not fund this garbage, Anna. And I think this is the line. I mean, Democrats, they're cool with it. They love the Maoification of America. But this is the line. We're talking about depriving the funding of this Stalinization of America. I can't imagine that. Well, I can't imagine. It's just the arguments there. I don't want a tough vote. Why do you have majorities if you're not willing to make tough votes?
Correct. Correct. And I think that that appetite and that willingness is there. And let me tell you, Charlie, I mean, you saw how effective 20 people can be when you really lock arms together and you have the support of the American people. And we're going to do it. There's no way that we'll continue down this path forward. And again, going back to exactly what you said, a lot of people, when the government shut down, they're not even going to know the difference. You're still going to get your Social Security payments. You're still going to get other things that you typically would get. But again, non-essential workers, I mean, the fact is that Congress should be discussing these things. And if we continue doing this over and over again, it's just a cycle of insanity. People want results. Ultimately, in my opinion, this last budget that went through was a total disaster. And so we have to do what we can to claw back what is left. Otherwise, again, you will see this continuous weaponization of the federal government. And we should be doing our jobs. We have the power of the person. We need to use it.
I totally agree. And the dynamics of kind of just the Republican weakness in D.C. is so frustrating in so many different ways. So we see here the Weiss issue. From the oversight, though, are we going to see hearings where we can actually hear in the own words what the Department of Justice is doing here? I have a personal theory that Merrick Garland is far more craven than I think people realize. I think that Merrick Garland is the actual directed energy weapon of the Marxist left. I think we should be most worried about Merrick Garland. Is there any chance of impeaching him or Joe Biden? I would actually prefer an impeachment of Merrick Garland.
You know, based on what I'm seeing and just being 100% transparent, I think that even when we do call up the impeachment inquiry for Biden, it's not going to pass in the Senate. However, I don't think that we'll be able to see all of the facts and conduct a serious investigation until we start that impeachment inquiry. So I'm hoping that this fall, one of the members that has filed that privilege motion will call it up. But in regards to Merrick Garland, I mean, I could not agree with you more. I am at the point now where I think we're all looking to see, okay, who's going to be the first one to essentially pull that, right? I don't want to say pull the trigger because I'm not advocating for violence, but figure of speech. We are at a point where I have seen the evidence. I have talked to many of, obviously, people coming in to testify. And when you are seeing the president of the United States, basically within 24 hours of anything damning coming out about him, about Joe Biden, you see another indictment against Trump. And then we find out that Biden is using essentially fake names to talk to Hunter Biden's business associates. I mean, there's no way that this is not a compromised position and that there's not public corruption here. But again, I am so sick and tired, Charlie, of hearing even some of our GOP senators saying that they don't want to get involved in a, you know, tit for tat, you know, retribution politics. And that's what they're looking at this impeachment ad. That's weak.
Congressman Paulina, you're doing a wonderful job. Best of luck and prayers in the coming days and weeks. Best thing in the world. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. We are saving babies with preborn by providing free ultrasounds. When you introduce a girl to her baby by providing an ultrasound, you're giving her the truth at the most important time in her life. And more than 85% of the time when she sees the baby and hears the baby's heartbeat, she will choose life. The voices that call themselves pro-choice are loud and proud, and they are everywhere. It might feel like an uphill battle, but there is no better fight to fight than with the truth of an ultrasound. $140 gives 5 mothers a free ultrasound and saves babies. $280 can save 10 babies. For just $28 a month, you can save a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. And $15,000 gift will provide an ultrasound machine that will save lives for years to come. Whether you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, that opportunity is just a phone call or click away. I'm a donor to Preborn, and you should be too. Call 833-850-BABY. That is 833-850-2229. or go to preborn.org/Kirk. If you want to save one baby or five or hundreds, the opportunity is just right there. Go to preborn.org/Kirk. Do not let your guard down. They are not going to allow 2024 to be a simple, serene, and normal election. We've gone through this ridiculous piece of trash from The Atlantic. The Constitution prohibits Trump from ever being president again. In fact, we triggered the degenerate heathens at Media Matters so terribly that before our show's even over, they have a write-up. Charlie Kirk says the 14th Amendment is written too broadly and sloppily. Yeah, that's right. It is. Also, make sure you include that I am a fan of what the 14th Amendment accomplished. But when you have the 14th Amendment that is used for everything from reparations to debt relief to preventing Trump from being the president, yeah, that's probably too broadly of an amendment. We must understand that there is going to be desperate measures to try and control people, manipulate the election. What are they? Why make 2024 any different if it worked in 2020? Play cut five.
COVID is making a comeback this summer, so many of us would like to leave it in the past, but cases are once again on the rise. So when will new booster shots roll out?
What's behind this uptick in COVID that we're seeing?
The main driver of this is a variant that's relatively newer to the scene, EG5. It's easier to give and get, so that makes it kind of easier to pass along.
The new COVID booster is expected to be approved by the FDA, and then we will make recommendations from the CDC probably by the second or third week of September.
Will it protect against this new strain?
Yes. The booster is tailored to what we are seeing circulating now. We likely will see this as an annual COVID shot, just like the flu shot.
I'm just dying. Yes, it will work. But what about the 11 other booster shots? Forget about those. This one will work. I got to give the Masters of the Universe credit. EG5. That just sounds scary. EG5. They had to have poll tested it. Two letters and a number. It sounds kind of bionic, futuristic. EG5. Remember they tried what were the other strains they tried? The Delta variant. That one didn't sound as scary. Sounded like an airline. You're like, whatever. EG5? Ooh. Why try something different if it worked last time? I was shocked, and I mean shocked, when I visited Seattle recently. And I went to a restaurant after tons of speaking events in Washington. We had thousands of people show up. It was amazing. There's a lot of fight left in the state of Washington, I'll tell you what. And I go to dinner, and I kid you, a majority of the restaurant waiters and waitresses were wearing masks. And not like those silly, I'm talking about like medical-grade masks. This was last weekend. I saw customers with masks. I was like, what drives this? At that point, it's just a mind virus, social contagion. I think it's a fear of death because people are afraid to actually live. It's a death cult. That is what is behind the climate change stuff. The world's going to end, rising global temperatures. We're going to get engulfed by, you know, the rivers and the seas. But why wouldn't they try to bring back COVID? It's trying to make a comeback. And when is anyone ever going to be called out? Like, hey, you said the vaccines were safe and effective. Why do people that get the vaccines need to keep on getting the vaccines? Oh, the virus keeps on changing. But maybe it's not COVID. We need a war game type conversation. And we are ill-prepared. Why? Because the RNC can't even get Donald Trump to show up to debate. It's a joke. Honestly, Donald Trump's doing the right thing, but he said he's doing none of the debates. Plural. We need to list out war games of the things they can deploy to try and change the 2024 election. What are they? Let's figure it out. What crisis or crises are they going to try and deploy on us? And we need to mention them publicly and try and preempt them. We are living through the Lawfare Act of Measure. They went from COVID to race, using mail-in ballots, back to COVID, little bit of Ukraine, and now we are in the Lawfare chapter. That's what we're in now. Lock up your political dissidents, throw the keys away, handcuff them in perpetuity. But what comes after lawfare? Have we thought that through? Have we gamed it out? Do we have anybody on the American right that have spent time with a whiteboard trying to figure it out? No. So I want you to think about that, and maybe the combined wisdom of our audience can come to an answer. freedom@charliekirk.com. What are they planning next? Because it's definitely something. Do you get the feeling that something bad is going to happen soon? Well, I do. But between the distractions and smokescreens in the media, we probably won't see it coming. That's why it's smart to invest in emergency food right away. As they say, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. My Patriot Supply is the nation's leader in high-quality emergency food. Head to my website, preparewithkirk.com, and you'll save $200 on your three-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. Enjoy a wide variety of delicious meals, offering 2,000 calories every day for optimum strength under stress. Stock up before panic sets in. Free shipping is automatic, and your order ships fast. Go to preparewithkirk.com. That is preparewithkirk.com. You are 9 meals away from collapse and anarchy. Go to preparewithkirk.com. Free shipping is automatic, and your order ships fast. 2,000 calories every day. Check it out. Excellent company. preparewithkirk.com. Rich Barris is with us, Big Data Poll and People's Pundit. Rich Barris, is it fair to say, is it true that Donald Trump is stronger today than he was in 2020?
Yes. And it's also fair to say that he was stronger now than he was in 2016 when he won. You know, we get this new poll coming out, Charlie, and I've been trying to beat this like a dead horse. And as always, thanks for having me on. It's just not 2020. It's not 2016. They're just totally different races. And he's doing so much better with key groups, which we can get into, than he was in either 16 or 20. And I mean, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but as a pollster, I look at this and it's just very clear why they're trying to do what they're doing to him.
What is it? Make it clear for our audience.
Yeah, they can't beat him. You know, I mean, Charlie, when we look back at 2020, and I know a lot of people, especially Trump supporters, you know, think that he won 2020. And that's fine. And you know how I feel about that personally as well. But the truth is, he still could have done better with certain groups that would have made it even more difficult for them to pull something like that off. There are, you know, you look at new voters, for instance. Biden won that by 30 points in 2020. And in September of 2021, that turned to a Trump plus two. Now, in this poll, it's going to be roughly Trump plus eight. Massive shifts. New generation Xers and millennials that are men working, that are coming into the fold. Non-whites that are coming into the fold. It's a total and underclass voters. It's a total disaster for the Democrats, a total disaster. And we do poll other candidates, and I got to make this clear. This is only Donald Trump. So if you are a crook DA or a crook prosecutor for the Justice Department, you're looking at this and you're trying to survive, Charlie. You don't want him in, you know, to come back in, now a target of their prosecutorial misconduct and whatever else it is, and have him clean house. So if you're the Biden administration and you're hiding bribes, you're going to try to make sure he cannot get on that ballot. You're going to try to make sure he doesn't have the money to campaign. He's going to be prosecuted. He's hurt by political prosecutions. And right now, that's just not happening. I'm chuckling on Sunday looking at these interviews. Nothing damages him. Nothing.
So let's be clear. Donald Trump is facing 600 years in federal prison under four separate indictments, yeah. Two federal, two state. And he is more popular than before the indictments. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct to say. I mean, favorability is one thing. We always really – there are people who always never liked Donald Trump but would vote for him and flirt with voting for him. And to us, you know, that group is what matters. They're going to dislike both him and Biden, but they trust him to do a good job, or they see what's going on and they think it's just wrong, Charlie, just wrong. We don't do this to people in this country. We don't beat people in the juror box. We beat them in the ballot box. So he has the strength with this group right now, even more so than he had with Hillary Clinton. I mean, when we had him leading against Hillary Clinton, it was a half a point nationally, a few points maybe. You know, he routinely posts 4 or 5 point leads, you know, so he's leading anywhere between 2 and 8 in our polling over the last 12 months. It's huge.
If you were to kind of war game, how do you bring Donald Trump's favorability down? He's near his basement as it is. I mean, he's usually, as trials progress, the prosecution looks worse and worse, especially with Big Fannie Willis, you know, who has just thrown everything at it. So Donald Trump can only look better because there is kind of this built-in expectation that he's probably going to get convicted in some of these D.C., whether it's totally unfair, but D.C. circuit. What I'm getting at is that if we move towards the election, he has almost nowhere to go but up, and he's already at a pretty good starting point. I mean, Rich, the conventional wisdom would have been, again, I don't put too much stock in polls, honestly, because I think elections are more about the technical stuff. But if it's a 10-point gap, that tells you something. But if I think the conventional wisdom in the regime was that the indictments would so tar and feather him with independents and people in the middle that this race would be over before it starts.
Yeah, actually, right now, I just looked at it before I came on the show. Right now, he's actually leading with independents, and every other Republican is down by like two or three among independents. So you know what I think this comes to? And you just said something. I'm a pollster. Of course, I love polls, but they have sampling errors, and I don't think they're reported to the public correctly, right? They're not it's not gospel. We use them as a guide. And I do think the fundamentals are much more important. Fundamentally, Charlie, people, Americans, love an underdog. And as you just said, we're going to get on with these trials. There are going to be cameras in the courtrooms.
Well, not in the federal. You know, federal, we're not sure.
Yeah, with Fannie Willis, yep, there will be. You know, it's just going to look like the guy is being persecuted. And Americans don't like that. You know, a lot of people don't know this. Martin Luther King was extremely unpopular until they threw him in prison and
I've never heard that. So he was unpopular until the Birmingham jail. Is that right?
That's grossly unpopular. And it all turned with Birmingham and then, of course, later Selma, right? So the beatings really did it. The most popular photo of him back then was the mugshot, Charlie. Yeah, Gallup. I actually had to do a research back on this back in college. Gallup didn't ask favorability the way that they do it now. They used a numbering system, but there is a way to translate that into unfavorables. He was 25, 30 points routinely unfavorable. And that was, you know, by the time the 60s rolled around. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think we look back and we think somebody like that, you know, was always popular. It's not the truth. Americans don't like watching someone being beat down by the man. They don't like it. And that's a big part of this, especially if the economy, imagine the economy taking a dive. And then we're watching the production of the persecution of Donald Trump. I think a lot of Democrats are underestimating this man's ability to win.
Let me also just get into something. Do you think that part of it is Donald Trump is a better oppositional candidate than institutional candidate? He's better at criticizing and challenging an incumbent than he is being an incumbent.
Yeah, I vehemently disagreed with how he ran the 2020 campaign. I did. I just felt like there was a lot of the magic he had captured in 2016, being an oppositional, you know, an insurgent opposition candidate. He had a certain magic that I felt like it was too consultant incumbent based. There was too much of an air of that in the 2020 campaign when, honestly, he should have just continued to run as an outsider. No president had been attacked by the system the way he had. So he should have just continued with that image. Now he's a bit of both. And maybe that's why he's doing better, because he's realized how to turn everything about being an incumbent, right? Someone who had the job before, into a positive. He's gotten better at that, and then leaving the baggage of incumbency behind. And then while still running, you know, like a hybrid incumbent insurgent kind of campaign. And if you get seen as the David in the David and Goliath story, it's a big win. It's a big win.
So, yep. Rich, this primary is a waste of time. Donald Trump has said he's not doing any debates, plural.
Total waste.
I think that's so smart. That basically says he is self-determining the primary is over. Let all these clowns fight amongst themselves. Vivek is not a clown, but, you know, let all these people fight amongst themselves. Do you think that's the right stance, Rich Barris?
No political consultant worth his weight would tell Donald Trump to get on a stage with a 40 to 50 point lead. That is ridiculous.
Stupid.
The primary is over, all right? Even the Iowa poll. And by the way, a note on that CBS News poll. We started as that CBS News poll was wrapping up. And actually, I'm telling you, because you're going to see it in our poll, they missed Vivek's surge. They got a little bit of it, but they didn't get the whole surge. Mm-hmm. The only question for us after the waiting is done is whether Vivek will hold on to second place, or will the, you know, waiting a little bit help DeSantis? But I mean, they're like separated by a point now. DeSantis has totally collapsed in the last 3-4 days. He's in a free fall, and Vivek more than doubled his support in our poll. But again, for us, Trump has been in the mid to high 50s, low 60s for months now, Charlie, for months. And his real ceiling is really like 80. We've done this before. That poll in their last poll did it. Like, are you considering, would you vote for Trump? And it was over 80%. So this is, nobody else has that kind of a footprint. This is a waste of money. And the consultants, you know, now look at what Ron DeSantis did with his campaign. He got slapped with an FEC letter. They want an explanation about what they think is misuse of money. They didn't even know they had money problems until June 30th, which when they needed to file, Charlie, which tells you how mismanaged that money was. You know, this is a waste. This Republicans have so much infrastructure.
How much money is left? How much money is left in the Ron DeSantis super PAC?
You know, the PAC is. That's how they're trying to do this. I'm not sure we know that answer fully, because they did both the campaign and the PAC did a little trick. It's an old trick. A lot of people do it. However, from what I heard from someone at the Post is that it's a lot more than usual. So if it's coming up on the reporting period and you owe me 15 grand for a poll, you don't pay me on the first, you know, until the first is over, because you don't want to see that money in the filing come out. So they didn't pay a bunch of vendors. And I heard that it's a lot more than usual. So I'm not sure we really know that. The campaign is broke. To be honest, when that came out, one out of every $6 they even had left was not even able to be used for a primary. It was earmarked for a general election. That's why there was no shakeup here, Charlie. They fired 2/3 of their staff because they're broke. Yeah, they stopped doing big events.
When Ron DeSantis starts flying United Airlines, that's when you know things are really, really falling apart. But that hasn't happened yet. But Rich, let's say that the Ron DeSantis super PAC has $100 million left, which 88, by the way, was raised while he was governor under different pretenses. Perfectly legal, but I don't love the I don't love it. Why doesn't he spend that on ballot chasing and early voting? Like, what does he really think he's going to win? He's now making me angry and bitter, because I'm like, dude, go deploy the $100 million and be a hero. Win the Republic, and we will help happily lift you up, all of us, as this magnanimous guy for 28 and all this. $100 million is super precious right now. Why are you going to go spend it to go lose? I don't understand. Now I'm getting angry.
Yeah, Charlie, you're going to see it when it comes out. I sent you the graph. 28% of Trump's vote said, I'll write his name on the ballot. You have no chance. The truth is, though, he doesn't have it, and we can get into this more, but the PAC, he doesn't control that money now. And once he made that transfer, that money's gone. And in elite polls, something should have jumped out, folks. They were polling head-to-head with Scott as well, and that's because that PAC could jump ship whenever they want.
Look, I know he doesn't control the PAC, but whoever is controlling the PAC should just say, you know what?
Yeah.
We're now going to deploy $100 million to making sure we beat the Democrats in November 24. So, Rich, what do you think the likelihood of Glenn Youngkin being drafted and put into the race? Would that mean anything?
I was flatly told that Glenn Youngkin said, if he's in jail and off the ballot, I'll get in the race. But I'm not as stupid as the other guy, and I'm not doing this. So
I just don't see it. That's awfully wise, unlike other people.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't see it. I really don't. At this point, you're going to miss some of the debates. You know that. Not that they matter, because the main event will not be there, apparently. But at least this debate, I agree with this decision. We'll see going forward if there's any evidence the debates harm him. But there's nobody who's going to be pushed into this race that's going to shake this race up. We asked Trump voters whether or not they're decided, Charlie, and they're persuadable. Routinely 75%. So they cannot change their mind. They will not change their mind. They're with Donald Trump, and that's it. I mean, if you just do the basic math, it makes it a lot harder for the anti-Trump forces to align together. I find it a little bit absurd that somehow is going to get to 50 before a guy who's already above 50, it gets to 50. It's just crazy. It's crazy. It's insane.
So all of this now being Donald Trump and the whole Republican apparatus, including the DeSantis super PAC, should just focus on the general election. Focus on the general election. What does your polling indicate, Biden versus other candidate? Do you think they're going to go through with Biden? I mean, what is the kind of last point to pull the plug?
Yeah, they – well, you mean Republicans versus Biden?
Well, no, just any – well, yeah, let's just say Trump. Do you think the Democrats are going to go with Biden? What is the last point for them to actually go through with it? What does your data or polling show?
We do have Democrats largely behind Joe Biden. He's solidly at this point now in the 60s. For a while, when we polled the very crowded field, he was very weak in the 30s. But as that winnowed down and people said they weren't going to run, it has been largely Marianne Williamson and Robert Kennedy Jr. who gets around 15%, and Merriam gets around 10%. But Biden is in the high 60s now. So, I think he's got this right. It's very difficult to beat an incumbent president. Something health-wise would have to happen to Biden to stop him from being the nominee. I just don't see it. And by the way, I keep saying this, I know it's crazy, but he's the strongest Democrat, Charlie. We polled Gavin Newsom.
More than Gavin? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Trump ran 6 points stronger against Gavin Newsom than Joe Biden, which is something. I don't know if that's name recognition or what. But
final question. If No Labels gets on the ballot and Cornel West gets on the ballot, does that help Donald Trump or help Joe Biden?
In some states, nationally, it'll help Donald Trump a little bit. But in some states, we're actually going to find this will be published pretty soon. In some states like Arizona, for instance, it actually hurts Joe Biden. I mean, it actually hurts Donald Trump, excuse me, which is crazy, I know. But largely nationally, Trump is about a point or two better when Cornel West is on the ballot.
So if No Labels is on the ballot, generally that would be a help towards Trump a little bit?
Yeah, it depends who they put on there. So, I mean, like a Joe Manchin kind of figure, obviously going to hurt Joe Biden. But we've done a series of these, you know, tests over the last year, and his voters are just so much more loyal to him. And Biden does have soft support. There are people who feel that they're kind of been orphaned from the Democratic Party. They just don't want to vote Republican. So No Labels probably in, you know, 80 or 90% of the situations are going to hurt Biden. So let them do it out of principle, Charlie. I just don't know a candidate that would hurt Trump.
Rich Barris, Big Data Polls. Great job. Have you back on soon. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. And God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.